And now, the rest of the story. Priscilla really hated her beginner swimming lessons. Shrieked at the top of her lungs when the instructor first lifted her into the pool. Passers-by would be alarmed and rush up, believing some child was drowning, and then the instructor would have to explain that it was only Prissy, the least likely future candidate for the Olympics in all of Houston, Texas. But then, as most youngsters do, little Priscilla got used to the water and grew to like it, and then to love it, and before long it was all her family could do to keep the little one dry. There were plenty of places to swim in the area. Neighbors had swimming pools. There was the Brazos River about 30 miles west of the city. And Prissy's favorite, Lake Somerville, about 2 hours' drive from Houston. One desperately hot Sunday afternoon, July 1984, some neighborhood friends, adults and children, were gathered at Priscilla's house. And after a while, somebody suggested they all get in their cars, visit Lake Somerville for a swim. So off they went. Ice chests brimming with food and soft drinks. Now, one of the youngsters along for the ride was an 11-year-old retarded boy named Anthony Melton. Anthony could not swim, but he did like to wade and slosh around in the shallow water. By now, young Priscilla was an excellent swimmer and was swimming some distance from shore. As she reveled in the cool, pleasant lake, she could hear Anthony at the water's edge. She watched as the boy reached into the rippling water and then put one foot in and then another. None of the adults seemed to notice. Variously preoccupied, swimming, sunbathing, or eating, nobody realized that Anthony was wading farther and farther out. Slowly, the water crept up to the child's knees and then to his waist, and suddenly he vanished from sight. And it was where the lake bottom dropped off abruptly, where the water was some 7 feet deep, and Anthony was 3.5 feet tall. Seconds later, his head bobbed to the surface. The boy screamed and sputtered and went down for the second time. Priscilla had seen everything and was swimming toward the helpless youngster as fast as she could. The grown-ups, alerted belatedly, were too far away to assist. When Priscilla reached the spot where Anthony had gone down, the boy surfaced again, thrashing and splashing, and then clung tightly to Prissy. But the boy's weight was too much for her, and both of them sank. As adults watched horrified, the two young ones surfaced and sank again. Moments became ages as the ripples died and the water grew calm once more. Surely Priscilla and the boy she had tried to rescue had both drowned. But then, wonderfully, the two broke the surface one more time. Now Priscilla is screaming and struggling ferociously, but pulled her way up and through the water toward the shore, with young Anthony still clinging to her. And minutes later, both were crying, but drying and safe. Now, the odds are they should have died that day. Priscilla was so much smaller than Anthony, and so much younger. She weighed a mere 20 pounds, and at the time was only three months old. Carl Sagan once said, "How intelligent does an animal have to be before killing it constitutes murder?" And that question is especially thought-provoking when one realizes that Priscilla, whose owner taught her to swim, Priscilla, who always comes running when any child cries out in distress, Priscilla, the winner of the American Humane Society's prestigious Stillman Award, Priscilla, is Victoria Herberta's pet pig. The rest of the story.